Good morning. I will be reading in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Submit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Thank you.
Good morning. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Feed on his faithfulness. How often do we do that? Do we remember that He is the God who is faithful, and we need to be feeding on His faithfulness? As you've noticed, if you've looked at your bulletin, or actually if you've looked at the front, we're doing things a little different. Somebody told me, said, "Pastor, it's not the first Sunday." And I said, according to the Word of God, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And by the time we finish this morning's message, I hope to be able to tie this morning's message into the reason we're doing communion on the last Sunday of the month. Has anybody seen Serpent? Well, the cage is empty, so he must be roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. He's not in the cage. I went back and checked the cage and it's empty, so. Yeah, for those of you that missed last Sunday, you'll just have to Serpent. It's not. Some of you will wake up in the middle of the night and go, I got it. You'll have it before we're done with this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we look again into your word, Father, I pray you'll guide us, direct us in our study. Father, just help us to see how we need to be feeding on your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion for us. Father, we cannot go through this life on our own, but we need you to be foremost in our lives. And Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that, Father, you will guide us in our study. And I pray this in your most precious name. Amen. You know, I got a set of notes up here. I'm not sure where we're going, though. Feed on his faithfulness. I was talking with someone this week, and they said, how do you understand, and this is just a little added portion of the message for this morning, how do you understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, but they're three? And I said, I got to be real honest with you. I have a hard time even imagining the magnificence, the awesomeness, the greatness of God the Father. You know, when a lot of times when we think of God, we have this picture in our head, and this is how I related it to this gentleman I was sharing with. I said, we think of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and King Arthur sitting there in his throne, and we see this fancy wooden throne, you know, that's probably not as big as this little pew up here, with this guy sitting there and all his people sitting around him. But then when I think of God, I can't think of God in that realm, in that, that's little. We look, I don't know if it was last Sunday or Sunday night, that the river that's flowing under the throne or from the throne of God in heaven, and the tree is there by the river. And I'm like, okay, how's this going to happen? But think about God, and how many of you've seen a magnificent wedding where the beautiful bride comes down the aisle flowing 10 feet or 15 feet or 20 feet of fabric behind her and gets twisted up on her feet every time she tries to turn around? How many of you have seen that? Imagine the train of the robe of a holy God fills the temple. How big is that train? Can we even begin to think in those kinds of terms? That's why when somebody is ready to go into the presence of God and God gives them a glimpse of heaven, they're like, I don't want to stick around here, because I've got just a little glimpse of what it's going to be like. And the more I study, and some of you know I'm back in school. And I know I'm a little old to be going to school, but I'm taking a class. And this week, we are talking about God. One whole chapter on God the Father. And as I'm going through this chapter, now you have to understand, this is a theology proper book to help pastors understand truly who God is. It's amazing. They're using words I've never heard of. And Sharon was out of town, and she says, what's your chapter this week? And so I read her what the title of the chapter was. She goes, what's that? And I said, God. So she hasn't heard that word either. So, but as I look at God, his faithfulness to us, and the Word of God says that we need to be feeding on that. Is that not just convicting? How much do we need to be feasting on God? I bet when we get up, when we finish here this morning, most everybody's going to go to lunch and feast. And before church time tonight, we'll probably go to the table and feast again on physical food. But how much do we feast on God and His greatness and what He has for us? Just a little side note. Genesis chapter 3. While you go to Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to go back into the New Testament for just a minute. I'm going to do a little mini recap of last week. First John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And if you remember, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. All three of those things that are mentioned in John, she indulged in. She saw that piece of fruit, it's hanging back there in a tree somewhere, and saw that it was desirable. She ate of it. She gave it to Adam, and he ate of it. And it says in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" If you're a dispensationalist, which most Baptists are, up until the time they ate the fruit, this was called the age or the dispensation of innocence. They did not know they were... Well, they knew they were naked. There was not a problem with it. Wasn't a problem till their eyes were opened and they realized that they had sinned against a holy God. God called out to them and they said, "We heard you. We were afraid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Had you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?" Did God have to ask? No, he knew. But their sin was evident by their knowledge of the evil and the nakedness. God already knew what they had done when he came into that garden. He knew what they were going to do before he put them there. But he asked the question. Guess what? What would have happened if Adam would have confessed that sin and asked forgiveness? You ever thought about that? But instead, he's like, "It's her fault." Isn't that what he did? He's like, "You gave her to me. It's her fault." Guess what happens today? Today, there is a reluctance of sinful people to admit their sin. Is that not part of the issue? When we sin, we don't... "Oh, not me. I didn't do that. He did it." Or, "It's not really that bad of a sin. You know, it's not one of the top 10. So it must not be very bad." right? Is that not what sinful man does? That's not that bad. God will just overlook that one. When we sin, and you know what? All of us are sinners. Every single person ever to be born outside of Jesus Christ on this earth was born a sinner. When we sin, are we willing to confess it? Or do, because we have been caught down into the world standard, it's okay? The world says it's okay. You know what? Let's just dumb church down. Let's take that sin there and just say it's not that important anymore. Because the world says it's not. I tell my students, do I not tell you, you better weigh what I say against Scripture? What anybody tells them about what's right and what's wrong, you need to weigh it against Scripture. And if it doesn't weigh up to Scripture, then it's wrong. So you got somebody that says, you can do that, it's okay. God will never know. Yeah, He will. Yeah, He will. We sin and continue in that sin because it becomes a habit. You know, there are things that we do every day and they become habit forming. And we're like, it's not that big a deal. Adam probably didn't think it was too big of a deal to take a bite of that fruit. Today, as it was in the garden, I believe repentance is still the big issue. When sinners refuse to repent, they suffer judgment. When they do repent, they receive forgiveness. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. The man said, the woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. God gave him the instruction. If instead of trying to lay the blame off on his wife, he would have said, I was wrong. What I did was wrong before you. If he would have repented right then, do you think it would be a little different today? What a pitiful response. God gave him a perfect woman. What she was in the garden before sin, she was perfect in every way. But yet, he wants to lay the blame off on her. He didn't want to take responsibility for his own actions. But then in verse 13, the Lord God said to woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Guess what? He's still deceiving today. He's still deceiving today. The woman desperately tried to pass the buck onto the serpent, which is partially true, but she was still responsible for her action. I am the only one who will stand before a holy God and give account for what I did. You notice there's no fingers pointing at you because I got them all pointing at me. I am responsible for what I do in my life. When I sin, I'm responsible to confess that to God. I'm the one who will give an account. Then we see, I asked last week, but let me ask again, how many of you love snakes? You would love to have snakes in your backyard and in your car and in your house. How many? Priscilla, you go out under your avocado tree in the backyard and you find a 6-foot diamondback rattler that snuck into the trunk of Susan's car when she was in Arizona last week, and it made its way under your avocado tree. How likely are you to go out and get avocados tomorrow? Probably not. You're probably going to call the pastor and say, can you come over and take care of this thing? It's from your homeland.
Getting awful lucky, huh?
Oh. All right. I guess we have to take off and we gotta go through this too. Wednesday, in case you don't know it, 7 o'clock, Bible study. And the prayer meeting. Thursday, 6:30 to 8 p.m., Kids Club down the road. May 11th and 12th, 24 hours of prayer. Sign-up sheets in the back. May the 13th, Mother's Day luncheon after the morning service hosted by the Spanish Church. Donation to help the meet to meet would be appreciated. Seed units.
You say meat or meat?
Meat, okay. June the 25th to 29th, 6 to 8 p.m., Summer Kids Adventure. Need volunteers. What is that, anyway? Adventure. Oh. Okay. I'll have to let them know Dan's apartment's there. And if that's all, we'll have the offering. Oh, you won't have far to go. Hold on.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings and the word that we've had today coming down from in Genesis and the as you've shared from your word from the pastor. We pray now as we give these gifts and our offerings that will be used for your service and to for our outreach throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
To be in God's family. One of these days we'll have to do that song that says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. But he didn't pick that one tonight. join heirs with Jesus as we travel this pod. For I'm part of the family of God. We did glory to his name. One of the things, I think Don looked at my notes, but I told him that I wanted to have a few people share tonight. Just, why do we need to share? It is. Why else? Okay, what else? Praising the Lord. See how God is working in others' lives. What else? Okay, if that's all. But that song that we did, it says, I am so wondrously saved from sin. As we talked about this morning, we know where sin came from. Our great grandparents, way far back, God brought all of this on. It says, Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. You know, the Word of God tells us that we need to be, and we're going to look at the verse, but that we need to be ready to give an account to anyone that asks. And I think sometimes we don't share enough. You know, it's up to the pastor to preach. But we're all part of the family of God. We're all that are believers are miraculously saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we should be excited about sharing that with other people. And I thought it was interesting, Don, we did page 300. Didn't we do that last week? But that's okay. We can do that. We can keep doing that. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take him with me anywhere. And I appreciated what Flora said about her grandkids that are standing, that are following Christ. You know, it's not easy today for students to do that. I talked with my students this morning. And we went out through Ephesians chapter 6 and looked at the different, you know, Satan can only be in one place at one time. But he has all of his minions with him that followed him in rebellion against God. And they're out after us. And I told my students, I said, if you want to serve God, you want to follow Christ, and you want to maintain your testimony, then look out. And we looked at all the different pieces of the armor, and I explained what the shield was really like back then in those times, how, you know, we look at these little bitty shields that people carry, and was more like a door. And I think of David and Goliath, and Goliath had his armor bearer. Can you imagine how big his shield was? He's a big boy, and if he had a shield that was going to protect him, he had a big shield. He probably had a couple little guys carrying that thing with him. Yeah, and you know, and when you think about it, and Satan is always on the attack, or his followers are always on the attack, so those flaming arrows or darts or however you want to interpret it are being slung at us all the time. And we need to pray for our students. We need to pray for each other, which we know that we do, but really, as the closer we get to the Lord's return, the more they're going to battle us, the more they're going to fight us, the more the world is going to turn against us because of sin, the more we have to be able to take that stand to follow Christ. So,